Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we're finally back.
Finally, here we are.
Once again for season 2, episode 32. And this is episode 90 total. 14,605 and counting.
9-0.
You know, we're getting closer and closer to that 100 episode pledge.
Yeah, the
That
pledge. I pledge.
we established when we first started this show.
I pledge allegiance to the podcast of the Marvel and the Star Wars universes.
Yeah. So it's been a little while since we hopped on. We've had different events, different life stuff, schedule stuff, as always. But here we are.
And I think the one thing I want to mention is I'm sitting here. I got a new chair for the podcast lab. My new chair is this VIP experience chair from that WWE Monday Night Raw. That was badass.
So, since I've moved back home, right? So, we went to Monday Night Raw. At this point, this was 2 weeks ago. No, this was last Monday, because they just had a new episode this past Monday. So last Monday,
That's right.
we're recording this on Thursday, on a Thursday. So that was last Monday. Raw was in Cleveland. We went. It was a gift from the Orange Theory Fitness Williamsburg faithful,
They
and
know how to gift, man. I tell you what.
it was flipping amazing. So Mike is listening to this. He was part of that faithful. So tell everyone, says thank you, and it was the best gift ever.
Appreciate
That
you,
was
Mike.
my first time going as an adult.
I
And
agree there because
let me tell you what, man, it is phenomenal as an adult. Like it's wow. We've had tons, we got tons of TV time.
Yeah, we sure did.
Like even what's cool though, I've been looking through like the WWE Instagram and Facebook posts from that night, and I've been able to spot us too in their posts.
Nice.
It's awesome.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, so
Yeah, I've had a lot of people I work with who were either there. I had friends that were there. Yeah, it was a lot of chatter about it when I got to work the next day.
yeah.
So,
The
I
problem
think.
is though, now I'm spoiled and there's no other way to go.
No, you're
It's
right.
either got to be that or a suite. Because being in a suite is pretty awesome. I've been to a couple of events in a suite, and that's awesome. But other than a
And being
suite,
down right there was amazing.
yeah.
It's interesting because
The only other place that I would want to sit besides, the very front row, right, is by the entrance. I
I
mean,
was gonna say.
if you were to say one bad thing that were bad about our seats, which I'm not complaining at all, right? But if you were to say one thing that could have been better with our seats was you couldn't see the wrestler's entrance until they got to the steps,
Yeah, and you
which
know,
still, that's awesome.
I think
The flip
I keep
side of it,
looking
if
up.
you were by the entrance, you could, the wrestlers are far off in the ring. But
Yeah, and
hey,
I kept
like
looking over, like I feel like I expected it to be a more raised platform,
yeah.
so you could see them coming out from behind, and then they would
No.
come like down the ramp into the ring, but they
Yeah.
came out like pretty flat to the ground.
Yeah, so that's how it is now. So when we were kids, they used
Yeah,
to have a ramp.
exactly.
Yeah, they stopped doing that
It shows you how far off I am from watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. There used to be a ramp when we were growing up.
Yeah. It was a WCW event at the CSU Convocation Center. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was when Sting came back from injury, came down from the rafters. It wasn't a televised event. It was just one of those.
Oh, house show. Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were, you know, but it was WCW. It was before they, you know, WWE. Well, WWF became WWE. So it was, that was back in the late 90s. But that was before he even joined, like, the Wolf Pack and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was still Sting in the white paint and the black the black trench coat and the bat, you know.
Yeah.
That was the last time I went to an event, so.
Nice.
But stellar. It's one of those things that when you're a kid, you buy into it because you're like, this is awesome. Like, oh, my God, look at these guys throwing each other around. And as you get older, you pick up. But you're like, I mean, you're like, yeah, this is obviously like a fixed thing. It's a show.
You go for the experience.
Exactly.
It's no different than going to a movie. Like, yes, I know this movie is fiction.
Okay, and it's like going to a concert. I would say I would say a concert's a better than a movie because you listen to music, and you get the experience of the music. When you're at the concert, you're like in it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like watching it on TV as a kid. I was in it because it was fun. But as I got older, it was just like, I just can't get into it on TV. But being there, I was like dragged right back into it. And I was not even kicking and screaming. I was like, go ahead. I'm laying down. Just pull me right back in.
And I was telling you in person, like I was listening to some radio personality on, I think it was like ESPN or FS1. And they were saying, it was ESPN. And he went to, like a week or two before we went, he said he went to Raw. He was like, yeah, the live product that they put out is outstanding. And he is 100% really cool. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other thing that was rough was the long commercial breaks between entrances and things like that. I mean,
yeah, but I thought it was cool because I didn't know those were the things that they did during the, like, I didn't know, like, I as a kid, I forgot. I didn't really remember. But I didn't know that during the commercial breaks, like, they cut the music off, they fade everything to black, and you know, but being that close, like, a lot of the wrestlers, they interact with the fans too during the commercial breaks. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But there were some long breaks there. There were some long breaks.
Yeah, taking that chair home was pretty sweet. Walking out with that, everyone's looking at us like,
yeah.
Are you supposed to be taking that with you?
Yeah. Well, they're very good with the security with that experience.
Oh yeah.
We had like 50 levels of security before we had to get two wristbands.
Yeah.
And even on the way
tries to get inside the building.
Yeah. And even on the way out, they checked our wristbands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought, oh wow.
Yeah. I wasn't even mad about it. I was like, thank you for checking.
Yeah,
we're walking out with these chairs. So, I would be skeptical if someone just let me walk out with a chair without checking, even if they knew there was a thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was really cool. So that's our Hot Take Jake's chair, and and I'm glad we talked about that at the top of the show because I'm actually going to make a reference to that during our discussion about Secret Invasion.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So,
speaking of, that's a fantastic segue you just made.
See what I did there? See what I did there?
Secret Invasion.
Yes. So, this is our first Marvel series since what?
That would be
Ms. Marvel. Maybe you have something
scroll
else.
Scroll back. I'm looking in my notes. Oh my God. That would be She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, yeah. Yes. She-Hulk, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking back and it's like She-Hulk, and then I see Andor, and then I see Wakanda Forever, Guardians Christmas Special, Quantumania, Mando, Bad Batch. Now Spider-Man Secret Invasion.
Yeah. So here we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, our first Marvel series since She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And
came out guns blazing, man.
Yeah. So I was excited about it, but I didn't really feel like a lot of hype about it. You know what I mean?
You're leading up
and,
to it.
Yeah. This kind of low key kind of, all right, yeah, here's Secret Invasion, you know, here it is. You know, it wasn't too much of a build up and hype, you know. As it got closer, you start to see more ads for it, but there wasn't like a huge, you know, hype train about it, like they're usually like in the past about shows and you know, movies and stuff like that. So episode one, it comes in hot.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in hot.
So and, yeah. They really did. They did something that I really appreciate about shows like this is how they bring you to like where the world's at in the universe.
Yeah.
They lay things out, you know? And some of the things they did, they really laid a nice groundwork to point out that one, that Soren had died. Okay. That's impactful. That brings Fury back down to Earth. Literally brings him back to Earth. Talos has been removed from the council.
Yep.
There is a council, first
there
of all.
There is a Skrull council, yes, yes.
Skrulls are immune to radioactivity.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big piece of information that they kind of just threw at us in the first episode. They mentioned it as an aside. Oh, yeah, they're living in this community. It's, you know, they're immune to radioactivity. Anyway,
that means that they're off the grid because they're like, oh, yeah, Russia has a bunch of plants that we don't even know about.
Right.
So they're off the grid.
Yeah. Nobody's going to go after them. You can't.
Right. Yeah.
There's, let's see. I have my notes here. You see the president. You see Rhodey with the president.
Yes.
New Skrullos, you find out about that.
Yep.
And they mention fracking pods. And they also show that when the Skrulls are given a personality, like as a spy, that they have a tool that allows them to absorb the mind of the person.
Yeah, that was kind assuming. Of freaky. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes it even more dangerous because not only are they mimicking somebody, they have their thoughts.
Yep. And that's then crazy. They suspend that person in that pod.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, all right. This is real.
Yeah.
This is real. So.
I mean, I guess we could talk episode two while we're at it because, I mean, there's two of them. But
well,
I want
to touch on a couple things you said, right?
Okay. No, that's fine. Go for it.
One. Rhodey, we'll get to Rhodey in episode two, right? One thing that I think is going to circle back is you mentioned Soren. We mentioned Soren, Talos' wife.
Mm-hmm.
She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we get Gaia, Amelia Clark's character.
Mm-hmm.
She's now an adult, an adult Skrull.
Yeah.
Which. Back up a little bit too. Also in episode one, we get kind of like Skrull years. Like Fury says, like he tells Talos at one point where they're fighting one of the Skrulls, he's like, not bad for a 136-year-old. And then Talos is like, well, in human years, I'm not even 40 yet.
Right.
So yeah, so that gives you kind of an idea of how Skrulls age. So I thought that was a pretty neat tidbit of information.
I love how they do that. They're just like it's so casual. It's not forced. It doesn't feel forced. They do that. They lay that like brick by brick, very carefully as you're watching it. So you don't have to like stop and say, "I need to absorb that information." It's like you heard it and you're like, "Oh, cool. Let's keep watching."
So yeah, not only are they super strong relative to humans, but they age. You know, we kind of got. Not immortal like him, but like a Wolverine type deal where he's like super strong. They're super strong relative to the humans. And then they age. They can get really, really old. So it's kind of like a Yoda type deal. That might
be. Yeah, that's a good way to put it too.
Analogy. So,
and if you look at Gaia, she was a child, like small child, when we met her, and that would have been what, 95?
30 years ago, basically.
Okay, 30. So she's aged 30 years. She's probably like 40, if that's the case. And I mean, that makes her, by math standards, probably like 10 in 12 years.
Yeah.
Or more like 15, but still.
Or like a teenager, yeah.
Yeah. So she's still very young as a Skrull ages.
Yes. Speaking of her, Gaia, all right, what I think is going to come back, one of my thoughts, maybe you could say a hot take, I'm not sure if this is a hot take or not, right, but one of my thoughts is we get a big point, an issue in episode one, is that Gaia has left, she feels disillusioned, which Gravik does. Gravik's the leader of these mm-hmm. disillusioned Skrulls that, hey, Fury and Carol Danvers didn't, you know, keep their promise mm-hmm. that they're going to give us a home. So she's young, impressionable. So she leaves. And at one point, Talos, who's chasing her, realizes it's Gaia. And Talos tells her that, yeah, your mom's dead, basically.
Yeah.
And Gaia's like, how? And Talos is like, ask the people that you work for, basically.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to come back. I was like, they said that. They planted that for a reason. And they didn't give us the details of that in episode one. So plant that in your minds, ladies and gentlemen. Because that is going to come back, I think.
And I agree with you, because even like at the end of episode two, when she's sitting there and they're showing her face, like her facial expressions as things are happening. And I think she's got that deep look, that deep stare of like, what have I gotten myself into?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder in her mind, like she was trying to help her dad by telling him that those bags were going to be UV, UV heat spray, UV paint. They're going to have UV paint on the bombs. And then it didn't work out. So I'm like,
did you think she was helping her dad out, or was she really part of the whole, guise of that, or the old,
what's the word I'm looking for? I think there's a third option. I feel like
she was. Do you think Gravik used her as a pawn, knowing that they were
going to
play her the entire time? Or do you think she was a part of playing them?
No.
Them as in Talos and Fury.
I think she's trying to pull a double agent. I think what happened was
she's trying to put a double pump fake in reverse.
Kind of. Like she wanted to talk to her dad and be like, oh, yeah, here's some information. And then wanted it to be like, oh, that information didn't work, and probably wanted Gravik to see like, oh, hey, look, Talos is here and she didn't help him. I trust her more, to let her in closer so she could probably get better information.
Oh, she's playing, she's playing both sides of the fence here to her own advantage.
I think she's trying to, she's making it look like she is, because she's trying to get out. That's what I think is going to happen. I think she's going to turn on him at the last kind of.
I think she will turn on him, but I think it's probably going to be because of her mom. I'll tell you that. That's
sure. Yeah,
that's
no,
going to come back. That's going to come back.
She left her dad for some reason. We don't even know what happened.
I think she's going to get all super powered with, more on that on episode two, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's going to be part of the resolution toward the end of how this whole Secret Invasion series gets resolved. But
yeah. So another character they introduced was Sonya Coleman, played by mm-hmm. Olivia. Oh, my God. Her name's Olivia Coleman. What am I talking about? No, Sonya, I can't remember her last name now. Anyway.
I just say it's Sonya, yeah.
Yeah, so she's great. She's been really good so far.
Yeah.
Especially in episode two.
Yeah, she's like, man, she's
Sonya Fallsworth, that's her character name.
She's a she's a tough cookie.
Well,
very funny too.
I feel like they played her to be like, okay, listen. I want you to look like you don't want to get your hands dirty and you're like proper, but you're like ruthless and lethal, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like she's walking in like with her hands up and holding her purse the way she is and making these mannerisms, but she's just like grabbing snippers and cutting a finger off and like,
well, oh, yeah, I think that's wonderful. The whole MI6 deal, like, you know what I mean? I think that's a part of it.
Oh, but
she's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, now this is where I wish, now we had intended to do our episode before the Secret Invasion episode 2 came out, because the impact of the end of the episode, I think, was going to be a big talking point for us. And yes. I had a bit of a rant on that.
You had a rant.
And I didn't tell you what it was. Yeah.
You never told me the rant. I want to hear the rant. Yes.
No. My problem. Now, I'm thoroughly enjoying this show so far. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
My problem is I am tired of this thing that Marvel does where they take strong female characters and kill them off for plot development. Maria Hill deserved better than that. She's a very strong character. She takes over for Fury when he goes missing in the comics numerous times and proves herself to be his equal, which is saying something because he's a badass. And to have that happen, yeah, okay, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to show that, oh man, this is serious. Wow, Fury lost someone close to him. Wow, he's going to have to really grow, but at her expense. And I think that was absolutely shitty. I'm sorry. They did the same thing to Coulson in Avengers. Okay. I didn't like that they did that either. So right. I don't know.
I'm glad you said that. I'm because, so glad you said that rant. Because my leads point me
is make it worth it.
This leads me exactly. This leads me to my aside about WWE Raw that we went to. Yeah. So hear me out for a second, right?
I'm all ears.
So you know the champ Seth Rollins?
Yes.
He was the guy that came out at the very beginning of the show. And yes. The one where I like lost my mind, right?
So yeah, okay. Go ahead. I'm
yeah.
Go ahead.
So the week before, right? The week before we went to Raw, the plan was to have Seth Rollins do, and bear with me for a moment, folks. Like, you'll see where I'm going with this in a second. The original plan was to have Seth Rollins do an open challenge for the belt to anybody who made, you know, who accepted the challenge. That was the original plan for Raw when we went. Now, through Twitter, this is the thing about following WWE as an adult now, and then with all social media and all that, you know, stuff that we have in this day and age, like, you can kind of follow like behind the scenes and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there was another wrestler who was coming back from injury, and I guess the original plan was to have him accept the open challenge against Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Now Finn Balor, the guy who absolutely destroyed Seth Rollins at the beginning of the show.
He's a real hateable villain, by the way.
Exactly. Well, okay. I'm glad you said that too. I'm glad you said that. Okay. So they're going to him, Finn Balor, and Seth, they're gonna fight for the belt at Money in the Bank, the pay-per-view that's happening Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, this was there. So I guess from when we went, it would have been 2 weeks from that point. But you know,
yeah,
it's gonna be Saturday. They're gonna fight for the belt. And so at the last minute, they made the change to what happened when we went to Raw where
Seth Rollins, still.
Seth Rollins comes out, right, and he just gets absolutely destroyed by Finn Balor.
He came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah.
You never even saw it coming. It was so dark. Yeah, right. The music was playing. Everyone was following along. He's conducting everybody, and then all of a sudden... Yeah,
that's his entrance, and then all of a sudden, boom, he interrupts that and just destroys him, right?
He didn't just interrupt it. He popped up on the ring, and I was like, what the... And then all of a sudden, he's just getting beat the hell out of.
Right.
I was looking at you like, who's this asshole?
But the point of that was, instead of doing the open heavyweight championship challenge when we went that night, the point of that was is to put more heat on Finn Balor and to give that match that's happening Saturday at the pay-per-view more value. That was the point.
Sure.
Now, as much as I going to the live event, as much as I would have loved to have seen Seth Rollins wrestle that night, right? I would have loved to see him wrestle. Like, he was like one of the three primary people I was there to see live, mm-hmm. right? As much as I would have loved to see him wrestle night.
You almost wrestled me out of my seat, like, through people. I was like, I lost my balance because the way you, like, hit me.
Well, dude, because like the funny thing was, like... I was taking video of the Raw open. So like I was doing video when they go live on TV, they have the, you know, the pyro and stuff like that. You know, this is Raw, all that stuff. So I was taking video of that, and then Seth Rollins' music starts out with this guy yelling "Burn it down." Mm-hmm. So I wasn't even expecting it.
Yeah,
that quick.
Neither was I.
And then, like, dude, when this music hit, like, burn it. Like, there was no segue. Like, usually there's, like, the open, then there's a little pause, and then whoever comes out first, they hit their music. Like, no, there was no pause. They went right from the open straight to his music, and I, like, went nuts. You can see in the video that I took, I was filming the open, and then when his music hits, like, I, like, put the camera down, like, drop the phone. And like I picked it up and I didn't really know what to do for a second. Like I didn't know whether should I film this or like keep going nuts like I'm going right now. It was funny. I looked at the video. But like
and I'm standing there just watching, taking things in, and then all of a sudden this music comes on and I just got like blindsided. It was like you like went into me like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "What the hell is going on?" I like almost fell over. What's happening? Who's hitting me? What's going on? I'm like, oh, he's excited. I'm excited too. This guy's gonna take me out right now. It hasn't even started yet.
But the point of that open was to build more value to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know? And that's exactly what it did. Because, like, yeah, it sucks that he didn't wrestle, but we still got to see him. He still got to do his entrance. We hear his music, but he didn't wrestle. But they were building more value in the pay-per-view, which is exactly what it did, right? About the pay-per-view match, more excited about it than before Raw on Saturday. So sure. I think Marvel did the same thing. Like, if we're talking in wrestling terms, they did a heel turn, right? They did a heel turn. They made Gravik a real bad guy, and they sacrificed an important character, right? Yeah. As much as I would have loved to see Maria Hill, right, throughout the series, I think they just raised the stakes like times 50.
Oh, I totally
when they killed her off.
I totally get that.
Which, like, yeah, you know what? And like you said, make it worth it. You said. Like, that dude is really hateable, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. Like, they made, like, this Gravik dude really unlikable, and they raised the stakes that much higher. And I'm glad you brought up Coulson, because I was going to say the same thing. They did the same thing with Coulson, right?
But I'm going to disagree with you, because I don't think Gravik is hateable.
Yeah, you know, the whole villain, like, yeah, you know, oh yeah, he has a point. Like, he kind of, you
Oh,
know,
no,
you
I
kind
mean
of.
like he's I'm trying to say here. You know, you get sometimes you get villains and they're just like, yeah, you're dead. Okay. They're just evil. Like,
Yeah,
I truly
he's a
think
smooth villain.
his
I like him.
conviction is like legit. He thinks I'm doing this for my people.
Yeah.
That's not a hateable thing. Like, I mean, he,
But
you
that's
know.
less my point, actually. My point is, like, yes, it sucks that she died, but the point is they built way more value into this series. And when that happened, I'm like, I am all in now.
Yeah.
For
I
me,
oh
that's what it did. Because
they're
I was reminded of Seth Rollins when we went to Raw. Like, all right,
they're gonna
this sucks,
really
yes, but like, I am fully invested now into this series.
they're gonna really have to make it worth it for me to justify it.
Well, yeah, the payoff is going to
I'm
have to
bad.
be big. Yeah.
It well, I mean, if it's a weak payoff, I'm not gonna be happy because it's like they could have done something different to. I feel like they could have done something different to make it give it more value. Actually, you know what would have
Yeah,
been,
but like what?
I think would have been more interesting was if she had, when she was dying, if she had turned into a Skrull. I think I would have,
Okay, you
yeah.
killed another scroll.
No, but you know what would have been interesting is if wouldn't it have been something if Gravik didn't even know. I don't know. I just don't like them. I was looking, see, the whole time watching the trailers and everything, I was looking forward to seeing her in action more because, yeah, you get to see
Now,
more of Fury,
to
but you
Marvel's
get to see
credit,
more of her.
they've always said in their trailers, this is Fury's war alone.
Sure.
I was like,
Yeah.
huh, they did say that. They didn't. They did say that.
That's still. That's a point of contention for me.
See? And I think that's the point. That's what they want. Like, when you
Yeah.
do that in wrestling, that's what you want. You want the fans not to like it.
Yeah, I mean,
Like,
but see, but I understand it. Like, I totally understand what they're going for. I do.
yeah.
I don't. I think just from the perspective of having watched them throw Gamora and Natasha over a cliff, literally. And now to do this is like, damn. Why can't you? I don't know. I thought it was interesting at the very beginning how they had Agent Ross. Like, I think that was a little obvious though. It was like he's, you know, but still, that was like, oh, okay, he's a Skrull. Yeah, that makes sense. And actually, the line there before they rolled credit for the Secret Invasion title from Talos, and it was Maria Hill, was like, he's one of you, and Talos said, no, he's one of them. That was like, that right there was the tagline of the whole show for me. No, he's one of them. So I thought that was. That was interesting. I mean, I'm hoping they make the Maria Hill thing pay off for
Yeah,
sure.
they need to. That's
Yeah, they can't.
the caveat. Like, when you do
Yeah.
this, you have to make it worth it, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I agree with you 1,000% there. I love that they did this, and by love, meaning I'm not loving that her character's gone.
Yeah.
I'm loving that they did something that big to set the show off.
Yeah.
So, but yes, they have to make it worth it. There has to
Yeah.
be the payoff in this series, because if not, if this show falls flat, then yes, then like, oh, okay, why the hell did they do that to Maria Hill when this is all we got?
Yeah.
So.
And her mom, you're Nick Fury. She would have followed you to the gates of hell and back.
Yeah.
And she said, don't let it be for nothing. And that
And
was
this
like,
was episode two. All right. So
yeah.
I guess we have anything more about episode one to talk about? Or are we?
Oh.
Or are we floating in episode two now?
I don't think so. I'm looking.
Well, we can still touch on episode one if we think it's.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, no. Here, I got one. There's a quote that I wrote that I thought was really good. It says, no matter how hard you fight for what's right, there's always someone stronger to undermine you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good quote, too.
Ooh. Ooh.
But it's very interesting that they're also trying to make it this, like, U.S. versus Russia.
Yeah. I think it, well, I guess that's one of the big themes here, right? Which are the scroll, the scrolls are capitalizing on, is that humans by nature have been, we've been at each other's throats since our existence.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gravik, when he goes to the console, and this is later in episode two, but I mean, it's kind of a theme that goes on, like you mentioned, U.S. versus Russia, is that we're just hastening the inevitable. I think that's what Gravik says at the console.
Yeah. He's basically it's okay, you know, murder? I don't know. They're going to do it to themselves anyway.
Yeah.
Cool, so motive, yeah, still murder.
It's definitely a whole U.S.-Russia backdrop. Which, you know, this is what Disney has been doing lately, tanking real life current events and kind of like, you know, putting them into their shows.
Yeah.
Which some people may not like, but hey, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Right. You know? So, but yeah, that's a very, real theme. And it's part of the big overall plot because, you know, basically the Skrulls are doing this. Their group that they have formed, their, I guess their front group, America's Against Russia. I think their whole point is to get Russia to turn on this Russian-American war, have all the American allies turn against America, have them join Russia. So we have this big World War III thing going on.
I think their big objective is to just have the world be completely nuke bombed. So then it's like, okay, well, none of you can survive here. We can.
One thing about episode two, which I've been trying my damnedest to look this up online, and I haven't found anything yet. So I'm curious, when you watched episode two, was it in color or black and white?
Color.
Okay. The first time I watched episode two, it was black and white.
The whole thing?
Most of it, yeah.
Really?
And then the second, I watched it twice. The second time I watched it, it was in color. And like all the screenshots that I see online and everything, it's in color. But like,
that's weird.
Some of the promo material that they had for this show has been in black and white, like the posters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, all right, did I hit a button accidentally? Like, no, I'm going through. I'm like, because one thing I did do was turn on closed captioning before I started the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I went through that menu, I'm like, is there an option for color that I must have accidentally hit or whatever? And no.
That's weird.
What I'm wondering is, like, you know, is there a, can I use the word variant that they put out there to where it's in black and white? I've been looking online. Like, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was in black and white the first time I watched this episode.
So I remember reading something, and it said something about them showing pictures, but purposefully not giving color to the pictures to avoid giving up color scheme and things like that, because that can dictate mood. That can dictate direction of the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very easily can do that. I mean, if you have bright, vibrant colors, it's going to be light. If you're going to have, I mean, obviously you're going to think it's going to be dark given the nature of the story. But if they had, you know, the color scheme makes a really big difference. So I think that's why it was black and white in that case. But wow, the show. Huh.
Yeah. I'm gonna see. I'm gonna keep my eye on it this week.
Yeah.
Run the internet. But like, I couldn't see. I couldn't find anything yet. But like, I just thought that was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they doing this on purpose? Like, I as a color variant or something? Yeah. But anywho.
Yeah.
Like, carry on. That was just my quick aside about episode two overall.
But, now, rolling into episode two, before episode two happened, I made some notes. These are things I was going to mention in a show if we had done just one before episode two came out. And I had written down that I guessed the president of the U.S. is a Skrull. And I put, maybe, gasp, Rhodey. So we'll see. I want to put that out there. So you heard it, everyone.
Well, there is... So Broden, I think that's the Skrull's name.
Brogan.
That gave up the information about the doctors, the Daltons to Sonya. Okay.
There was
an inside man that let us know where Broden is. I'm like, who's that? Who's that inside man?
Oh, good point.
Who's that inside man?
That's
so
a good point.
One of my big things about episode, well, you said Rhodey. And, you know, maybe, you know, possibilities, right?
Yeah.
But inside man who would know, who would have that intel where Rhodey or Broden was.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe Rhodey. Maybe I was thinking about, okay, Sonya, MI6. So I'm thinking about like British MCU characters, right? MI6. And you don't have a whole lot of them. Yet anyway.
Yeah, because you mean that's when you get around like Captain Britain.
Yeah, you know,
things like that.
You know what, Rhodey, really, that's a good idea. But there's somebody with that intelligence.
Well, when you see the council, it could have been any one of them too.
Yeah, it could have been, I guess.
You know, and just a thought, but that is
which they have some pretty powerful people. There. They got the Secretary General of NATO on the council.
Man, they're showing all
the
those
Prime people. Minister of the UK on the council. I'm like, all right.
Was he the U.S. Secretary General? That was Shooter McGavin, by the way, if you didn't know that from, you know, Happy Gilmore. And then they had Shirley, who she was an Indian lady. And they didn't give a name to the, and so I don't know if he was Japanese or Chinese, or if he was supposed to be representing like, if it was just, you know, another person to fill the council with.
Yeah.
Because they didn't give that person a name or any lines at all, actually. So, but the council was very interesting. They're all very powerful government officials. When they mentioned the scientist, when she was like, who's running the science? He said a married couple. And my brain went, Sue and Reed Richards, Sue and Reed Richards.
You're,
I don't know if you did the same thing.
No, mine didn't. Oh, mine didn't, because I know that they're still far off from Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to drop a whole lot of seeds just yet.
Given the gravity of the Super Skrull and the Super Skrull's abilities.
Yeah, but I mean, it's MCU. You know how they change things.
I know. But that, my first thought was that. And then I was like, oh, no, that's not going to be it. But speaking of Super Skrull, I paused the show because I was like, hold on a second. They showed that computer screen and it said Groot.
And you know, like, you know how they do like little what do you call it? Easter eggs, they kind of flash and then kind of go away. They kept that camera on that computer for a hot second.
And they allowed the screen to scroll.
Yeah, right.
You're like, this is important.
This is important. So they kept it on there for a hot second.
And as soon as I saw that, so I'm like, okay, Groot, Frost Beast, Call Obsidian, Extremis. And I was like, how cool to pull all those things into one point. But that, I mean, if you think about it, and you sent me an article, I didn't actually read it. I don't know why I didn't read it. What was I doing? Oh, I think I was working. But in
Jake's phone goes off. I'm Ryan. I'm working. So what? Send.
Here's some more information. Take it. I'm like, okay. Oh, no. You know what? I take it back. I did read it. I read it because I sent you my message, and you sent that, and then I read it, and I was like, okay, this pretty much confirms what I had been thinking. You're looking at Groot has his root extension, so that's kind of like Reed Richards' elastic ability, kind of.
And then which looks like from the preview material that's what Gravik's going to have.
Yes.
It's going to have big arms. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also a Call Obsidian who has super strength and I think tough skin, but that's the thing. Extremis, that's basically fire. There's your human torch element.
Yeah.
And the only one that doesn't make too much sense is the Frost Beast because, you know, that's not invisibility or shielding. So I don't know how that's going to play into it.
Well,
I don't know if they're going to like give one power to each Skrull or something, but
they,
I feel like...
What they say in that article, they said something specific about
not sure. You're scrolling through it.
It's by far talking about the Frost Beast. It's by far the shakiest of Fantastic Four replacements.
Yes.
But it's possible this DNA could provide a Skrull cryokinesis like Frost Giants, meaning ice barriers mimicking invisible woman, invisible ones.
Yeah, that's a good.
They even point. Say that it's the shakiest one out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's like, it's almost like Iceman in a way.
Yeah.
But
so I have to mention, right, Mike. So Mike, he's listening. He's been asking, like, where, when are you podcasting? He's been
bugging us about the podcast. I've had a few people asking too.
Yes, did. So he texts me today. He goes, Frostbeast, ... Man, they really want us to love Thor Dark World.
Exactly.
Dude, I hollered when he sent that text message. I was like, they are really trying to, you know, shove it down our throats, this Dark World.
Yeah,
they really are. First with Endgame, then this. They're trying to, then with the extremists, like, yeah, Iron Man 3. Hey, don't forget about that either.
Yeah. Hey, remember that movie?
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. Remember the two movies you all slept through in the
during the marathon? Marvel movie marathon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, hey, remember Extremis? You know, the thing that happened the same time that Trevor did from Iron Man 3? Hey, you got Trevor before Extremis got an explanation, right? Didn't you? You got him again? Hey, oh yeah, here it is again, rearing its ugly head. But what's interesting to me is they have a sample of Groot somehow. I don't know if it would be from Earth or if it would
they,
be from...
In the article...
Is it from Guardians 1 when they were on?
I think they said it was probably from the Battle of Wakanda.
Okay.
That
makes sense. But okay, so you have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Frost Beast thing. That's were those things? No, those weren't on Earth. Were they? Those weren't no. He didn't fight.
There was a Frost Beast that escaped on Earth.
Right. Okay. So there's that.
I'm gonna just trust that because listen, I've watched Dark World once,
yeah,
and that was enough for me.
Beans obvious. That's from Infinity War. Right.
Yeah.
But the one that's the shakiest on collection is Extremis, because they self-destruct. So unless they had like a DNA sample from the lab where they did the work, maybe so. Oh, damn. Whoa, my mind just was blown. Maybe somebody who worked on the Extremis project was a Skrull. Holy shit.
Maybe, yeah.
Holy shit. And they've got, and apparently, according to Talos, that lying SOB, there's a million of them on Earth.
Yeah.
And Fury's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Tell me something I don't know.
Tell me something is okay. So I love that scene because
that was good.
If you've seen a lot of Samuel L. Jackson movies, he does this a lot in these roles. He tells these stories.
Yeah.
And he just goes into these dry diatribes about something and then brings it back to the point of why he told that story.
Yeah.
And he's an executive producer of the show. So I'm like, man, this is Sam Jackson, like, written all over it.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, so many Samuel L. Jackson movies where he does that in his role. It'll just tell a story and then bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
You know, like in Pulp Fiction, you know, the story in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tasty burger.
Yeah. Royale with cheese.
Mind if I have a drink? Say what again? I'm waiting, just waiting for him to say that at some point. Say what again? They already did
the watch. I have to watch that again. I haven't seen watched that movie in a while.
They already did the Path of a Righteous Man that was on his tombstone in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is hilarious.
So,
but you know, it's That was a cool part because he was like, tell me something I don't know about the destruction of Skrullos. And Talos said, well, you know everything. He goes, I know, but the game's called Tell Me Something I Don't Know.
And you know what he did too in that scene? So he talked about the train, the cars, about how, you know, the colored people, black people, they couldn't ride in certain cars, so they had to ride in this car. And they brought the food and everything like that. And he talks about race and the history of the country. He also talks about it in a way that kind of relates to humans. Because he says later in that same scene that humans can't get along with themselves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, he just set that up with that story about the train car with him and his mom. Because, racism and... You know how the country has been divided? Like, we can't get along. So how the hell do you think we're gonna get along with Skrulls?
Right.
We can't even get along with our damn selves.
And for him to tell that story from the perspective he did also made it relatable to the Skrulls. Always being refugees of some kind, always being unwelcome wherever they're at.
Yeah.
At the point, you know what I mean? Like, he's relating to Talos in a way like, hey. We've been through this. You've been through this. We know.
Yeah. But a million Skrulls?
And then he said Emperor Droge's colony. So there's a Skrull Emperor out there somewhere with a colony that doesn't connect to Gravik's colony or Gravik's group. Which was what, was it 500 or was it 5,000? I can't remember the number.
It was 5,000. I think it was 500.
Yeah, so that's their group. And then they have the council, which I feel like they bent way too easily to Gravik. Like, that was kind of interesting to me. Like, you're the Skrull council in secret, and you're powerful, and then all of a sudden you're going to be like, let this dude do whatever he wants. We've worked for X amount of years building whatever we're doing, let's just let him go and, you know, throw some bombs around. I was like, what? But he's got some pull on them somehow.
Yeah. They did bend very easily.
Yeah.
But
they mentioned the Avengers.
Yes.
I thought that was interesting.
And twice in two ways. Yeah. One, when you know, Gravik's at the council and they're like, you know, what about the Avengers? And Gravik's like, well, don't you think I already thought of that? Super Skrulls, right? And then the other one was when Fury and Talos was talking And Talos is like, hey, what about your other friends?
Yeah.
And Fury's like, hell no, we can't do that. Because, and he's right.
Yeah.
You know, if those Skrulls happen to get one of the Avengers in one of those pods.
Yep.
And they can have their thoughts, their powers, their look. Yep. And while the real person is suspended in that pod or killed, well, you know, that'll be a problem. A big problem. He was like, yeah, Taylor's theory is like, yeah, then we'll have a super terrorist or whatever the hell he said. You know, so
yeah. So that's how
it's like, good point. Good point, Fury.
They're addressing the question that everyone's going to ask. Why couldn't the Avengers come and help him?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Rightfully so. Everyone's been asking through pretty much every project, you know, movies, TV shows, like, oh, we're just going to let Spider-Man run by himself. And, you know, is Tony Stark going to come help him? No, he's not even going to help him. You know, like, here's Ms. Marvel. You know, where's the rest of the Avengers in any other situation? And this time they actually addressed it, which was, I thought, kind of nice.
Yes.
Nice touch. But speaking of the Avengers, cue Rhodey. No chill. Having none of it.
Don Cheadle. He's really great. Shines in this role.
Yeah.
He's awesome in this version of Rhodey, like this seasoned, I don't give a bleep,
yeah,
snarky, you know, like
this Rhodey is basically
this version, like, of Rhodey's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, he's like, my patience with this type of shenanigans died with Tony Stark. None of y'all get to do that anymore. I hung that up. Basically,
what if Fury asked him, like, is it a nice suit, Armani? And it's like, no, and what was the said whatever suit brand it was, too expensive for me.
Like,
yeah, too expensive for my blood, right?
Yeah.
He goes like, given Daniel, this is pretty much, you know, cheap for me, basically, is what he said.
Exactly. Yeah, that was hilarious. I love how he was like, if she smirks at me again, I'm gonna carpet bomb their ass.
Yeah. And then they brought that line back because Fury's like, why didn't you carpet bomb her? Or whatever. Yeah. Like, but there was a, what'd he say? When him and Fury are at the bar or whatever, they meet. And Fury's basically like, yeah, like, you know, help a brother out and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. He says this line, I wrote it down, and he was like, because basically Fury's like, well, in so many words, you know, we're both black.
Yeah.
You know what our people been through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we've been through personally with the Avengers and all this other stuff. Like, you know, we should be working together, like help a brother out. And Rhodey says this. He says, the reason we wrestled this power from men who don't look like us
mediocre
wasn't to turn around and give it to mediocre men who do.
Yep.
When he said that, the Fury, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Slapped him with a glove. Called him a mediocre man.
I was like, Rhodey, yo.
Yeah.
You got no chill whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
He called that man mediocre.
I love how he got in his face and said, I'm Nick Fury. Even when I'm out, I'm always in.
I mean, yeah, he tried to save it with that line, but I mean, but
yeah.
Rhodey got him with that line. I was like,
yeah. Oh, he did. He did.
I was like, oh.
He was saving. He was trying to save face there for sure.
Yeah, he tried to save face. I mean, which was a good one-liner. I mean, that's the one that's going to be a meme.
Yep.
You know, even when I'm out, I'm in. That's going to be the meme. But like,
that's what she said.
But ooh, wow. But I mean, the Rhodey line, that was a zinger right there.
Yeah, ooh. It really was.
Ooh.
So they also, so go to the Skrulls now. They mentioned this harvest. I want to know what that is so bad.
Yeah.
I can't wait for them to reveal this because it's almost like a DNA harvest for them to find things that are worthwhile to be.
Yeah, they'll probably get more details on that.
Yeah. They're probably like, well, you know, we got this frost beast from Dark World. I mean, can we cast this aside for something better, maybe?
Don't we got some Doctor Strange DNA somewhere or we can find or
oh my god. What other weird shit can we find that gives us power other than this crap?
Yeah.
Frost beast.
Oh gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what's interesting is when you see them, because this happened in Captain Marvel too. Speaking of, I mean, you saw my people trying to cancel Sam Jackson because he defended Brie Larson and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, who cares? Like, I don't think Sam Jackson really cares.
So. He's like, I don't even know who you are. That was a good meme that I used there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we saw this in that movie when the Skrulls die, they revert back to their Skrull form.
Yep.
And it was interesting when Sonya, she just walks in there like, we've been at it for so long. How are you going to get anything out of him? Oh, I'm quite persuasive. And she just cuts his finger right off and holds it up and goes, oh, now I know what we're playing with. Let's have some fun, shall we? And we're like, what? I'm like, what is this lady doing? She's just like smiling through all this.
Yeah.
Just like kind of weirdly badass in a way, you know? And, What did she do to him? She hit him with that stuff to get his blood to boil. Yeah. First of all, that was wow. And she got a lot out of him. They're building a machine. He told her who the scientist was, and she should have just let him die right there at that point, to be honest.
Basically, yeah.
He sealed his fate by telling them anything.
Yeah. But I guess that would have been showing him mercy a little bit.
Yeah, her leaving him there made it so, you know, I think she knew
she told what he told
because he'd be ashamed, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I had another two. So during the Skrull Council, I had a quote that I wrote down. And something that Gravik said, and the quote was from Shirley, who said, "We became homeless refugees because we were too willing to wage war." She said, "We didn't become homeless refugees because we were unwilling to wage war. We became because we were too willing to wage war," which was interesting there. But the other line that I saw was that I liked was when Gravik came in and sat down, he looked around at them and was like, look at you, wearing the man's clothes, eating the man's food, drinking the man's wine, using the man's fork.
Yeah.
That was really a telling thing too. Like very like what you mentioned with Nick Fury talking with Talos about the train and the colored car and everything like that right there, using the line specifically, the man, you know, and it could it's be
separation.
Could be, I'm sorry.
It's separation. Like, yeah. You know, Talos and Fury, they have this utopia vision of Skrulls and humans coexisting in one big happy family. But I think what Gravik says right there, the story that Fury has, that this is like more of a pipe dream versus reality or what's really possible.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's interesting how they mesh all that into this storyline.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Like real world stuff, class, race, the man, et cetera, all that. Mashing it up into this storyline of Secret Invasion. I like it. Now, the thing that I flipped out over was the very end of episode two.
Yeah, you did. Obviously, by your sign. Looking at this like, oh my god, that's hilarious. Your sign.
Nick Fury, he's driving. He breaks the security detail's arm or whatever. Rhodey, he gets his little Range Rover. He's driving. Do, 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 do. He pulls up to this nice house. You know, we get a vision of Priscilla Skrull, right? She's making some food, doing some meal prep. You know, she's good to go. Fury walks in, and then she changes to human form. And she's like, did you forget something? You know, Fury's like, oh. Then he reaches over on one of the counters, puts a ring on his ring finger.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, is this better? And then they just start making out to Otis Redding. And then they cut the black and roll credits. And I'm like, huh, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
This son of a bitch, Fury, has been married the whole time. Number one. Number two, he's married to a Skrull.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My thoughts on this.
I have some as well, but go for it.
My thoughts on this. There's two ways to go, and we'll figure out which one it is probably later in the series. But if he knows that she's a Skrull, and that explains a lot about his whole, you know, loyalty to the Skrulls and his affinity for them. Because I was thinking, all right, okay, when I initially saw it, I'm like, all right, there's that kind of explains his affinity to Skrulls, because I know him and Talos are cool, you know, whatever. You know, they had this whole Captain Marvel episode that they had, you know. But, you know, there's got to be a little bit more to his liking the Skrulls. I'm like, okay, that can explain it. But then, what if he doesn't know that she's a Skrull? Which would kind of make more sense, because if he knew that she was a Skrull, how would he not know that Talos brought a million Skrulls to Earth? When Priscilla was like one of his right-hand men or women, I guess, in this case, right? Even if Talos is like, well, you can't tell your husband. I feel like that if Fury knew that she was a Skrull, that he would know about all this and that he would have been back a little bit sooner. So,
well, okay. I think he knows, because she was the same person who was standing with Gravik when we were introduced to him as a child.
Right, right.
That was the same lady.
Right.
So he knows. He has to know that's her. But at that point, Talos was also on the council. I don't think she was. And if he was on the council, there's probably a lot of things he couldn't tell people. So those people that he was with probably didn't even know how many Skrulls actually had made it to Earth. So he may have been keeping a lot of them in the dark. Because I think you're right that if she knew, there's that many years, there's no way that they hadn't talked about that, you know, pillow talk as it is. There's no way. So I think he knows that she's a Skrull. I think she doesn't know a whole lot about what's going on, because Talos kept a lot close to the vest. That's my thoughts. Now, my other thought about this, and this may be obvious because I feel like they led us in this direction. I feel like since Gravik had lost his parents, she may have adopted him as a parent, and Nick Fury then becomes his stepdad.
His father.
Yeah. So again, you know, like giving his dad the middle finger, like, yeah, what now, dad? I killed your best friend. What are you going to do about it? Pops, you know, like that kind of crap. Like, does this get your attention? Do I got your attention now? You come back down to earth. You know, I kill her. Now do I have your attention? You want to listen to me now? You know, that kind of thing. I feel like that's the kind of sass he's kind of given. He's going to give him the whole,
did.
You're not my daddy. You know, like the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
He did show a little restraint, fury, at the end of episode one.
Yeah.
When he clearly knew that was a Skrull with this rainbow umbrella thing at first. Or
so
balloon.
That was messed up because... Yeah. When I was watching that episode and I saw that girl run out with the bouncy ball and stop and look at him, I'm like, that's a damn Skrull. There's no way at this time.
He clearly knows that's a Skrull, right? And he's clearly showing some restraint there.
And he showed him three different faces.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the first one was the little girl. The second one was the guy in the bar, because that's where Fury was playing chess with Maria Hill. The dude at the bar who gave him some crap about buying drinks, that was Gravik.
Yeah.
Okay. The third person I didn't recognize, but that had to have been an important piece. Kind of like, do I have your attention? You know, it's like the girl and Fury's like, uh-oh. And it's like, do I have your attention now? And then the dude from the bar, how about now? And then that lady was like, I think that was like the nail the coughing, because the next time you saw him, he was Gravik. And it's like, how about now, dad? So I think that third person they showed, I'm gonna have to go back and watch the episode to see if they show that lady, because I think that person's important to the story too somehow. But I even thought so far back that what if Gaia, you know, Talos thinks he's meeting with Gaia about the infrared paint on the bags. What if it was Gravik posing as Gaia?
Wow, you're really putting a lot of layers.
Because he can clearly walk around wherever the hell he wants and impersonate whoever the hell he wants. It'd be very easy to do that. And that's why she was probably like looking around, probably didn't even think about it. She hasn't talked to Talos yet after that, right? Yeah, he hasn't reached out to her. So what's it to say that, you know, she had no idea that Gravik as her met with him? Because that adds another layer, because I don't know if she would have just straight up lied to her dad. She probably would have said, I imagine she would have said, I can't help you. I'm not doing this, dad, and walked away, but gave him information that ended up being a trap. So that's what makes me think, no, that was Gravik as her.
Wow. So this is like, I'm reminded of the old Stone Cold Steve Austin line, DTA, don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, well, I'm in.
Yeah, me too. This is good so far.
It's good. It's very good. This is very good. It's not like overly superpowered or, you know, but it's like thriller, spy, mystery, you know, so.
It just makes me wonder how, this is going to sound bad, but how is one old agent in Nick Fury, regardless of how smart or tactically strong he is, going to come out on top of a bunch of shape-shifting, unnaturally strong, unnaturally long-lived, soon-to-be super-powered Skrulls on his own. You know what I mean?
Here's, I don't think it's going to be on his own because, one, I think Gaia is going to come around. Her mother's death is going to be her turning point, all right, or the reason. And she's going to get powered, and then she's going to help. And then I think Inside Man, whoever that Inside Man is going to be somebody important and possibly somebody superpower. I think there is a rumor that there's going to be like a twist about who's a Skrull. Maybe it's some type of Avenger that we've known and loved for years.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're a Skrull. So.
And so far, all we've seen is Rhodey.
You're right. Yes, all we've seen is Rhodey. Okay, so.
It just makes me wonder who they're going to...
Wait a minute. So when Rhodey was walking, right, I know that he's got a lot of... he's got a lot... Okay, the last time we seen Rhodey...
He's got the harness or the...
Yeah. I'm wondering about his technology, his upgrades in technology with how he's walking. Like, since Tony died, right... Has he gotten better upgrades? Because like I was noticing that he's walking like he's a spring chicken in this one.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a clue.
Even if you think about it, because Tony didn't get snapped. And Rhodey didn't get snapped, right?
I thought he did.
Well, either way, there's a lot of time that's happened before Tony died. And if you know anything about anything Tony Stark did, his first
he's bulky
as hell, and then it turned out being complete nanotech. So I'm sure
there
had to have been something done between the blip and now that before Tony died. I'm sure he gave something to Rhodey. I don't know.
We'll see.
It would be really cool. I would love to see this because that again would be like a total Tony Stark. Like, here you go, buddy. You're welcome. Love you. 3,000. If you know someone were to come out and attack Rhodey, and he were just to like hit his like American flag pin on his lapel, and all of a sudden he's now in his War Machine suit that just crawls over
That'd
him.
Be awesome,
That'd be pretty
yeah.
sweet. I wouldn't put it past.
Rhodey did survive the snap. So, yeah, he was
around. Yeah, so there you go. There's 5 years.
Yeah, he was around, yeah. He was around.
For him to fix him up real nice.
Yeah.
He has to have bleeding edge nanotech. Come on.
Yeah,
probably. They need to give it to us. They need to give us Rhodey in War Machine. There's a huge disservice if they do not. Yeah, this is Nick Fury's war, but you know what? It's Nick Fury's War Machine. Let's go.
Wow.
Let's get it.
Wow. Wow.
I want to see it.
But yeah, there's going to be somebody big who's going to turn out to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
Maybe the Inside Man.
I want to see him jump out of an airplane and then turn into War Machine. There you go. That's what I want to see. Yeah, this Inside Man, that's interesting. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that wraps up Secret Invasion so far.
Two episodes out of six. It's looking good.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little bit of a whole lot of haters about it. So.
No, me either. But I will say the one thing that I am disappointed is the episode is only 58 minutes long.
Now, I did read somewhere. They're like, every episode isn't going to be 58 minutes or 50-some minutes. So don't be surprised if we get like a 20-minute clunker. next week.
Man, I will. I will go on Facebook and be like, Maria Hill died for nothing
for 20 minutes. This is bullshit.
No, you know, it's because every season, every series so far has had, what, like 8-9 episodes? Something like that?
Well, the original thing was supposed to be like every series is 6 hours of content.
Yes.
Now, the shows have split that up differently.
True.
And I don't know if they've changed to 6 hours or not. But that's how it, that's what the original thing was from Feige.
Yeah. That
every show was 6 total hours, basically. Right. Now, and they've been splitting that up differently with the shows.
Now, how long was the first episode? That's something I did not know.
55 minutes.
I'm sorry?
It was like 55. They were both in the 50s. They were both long.
I mean, so they're tracking to have 6-hour-long episodes, which makes sense, but you never know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 6 episodes.
35 minutes.
So, I mean, I'm cool with them, you know, less episodes, more runtime every episode. Sure. So.
Me too. It'd be funny, though. I'll be messaging you. It'll be like a 30-minute episode. I'll text Val and be like, hey, Val, we need to buy a new TV. Why? What happened? What happened is Kevin Feige gave us a 30-minute episode. And that's what happened. Also, we need to buy Donovan a new toy.
Toy. Yeah.
Within with reach. Yeah. I kind of threw that one. Oh, man. I'd be so pissed.
Well...
Yeah, I think that's about it for us. I think we're going to need to reconvene to discuss other things.
Yes. We still got to talk about... We'll talk... we should do a separate show about... Or... Well, we got one episode of Secret Invasion that's coming next week. Maybe we'll split that into a Spider-Man Secret Invasion episode.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
that's something we need to talk about because damn. That's all I'm going to say. Damn.
All right.
And that's a good damn.
That's your teaser, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's damn. Your teaser. And it's not damn dot dot dot. It's damn. You know,
that movie exclamation is still point. Number I think that movie was still number one in box office.
It's gotta be
crazy.
Incredible.
It's been like a month. It's been like 3 or 4 weeks.
Amazing. Spectacular.
And the Flash.
All of the Flash. You see what I did there?
Yes. Yes. With the Flash in theaters too. So
I'm surprised that movie hasn't been in and out of the theaters as fast as the Flash. From what I've been hearing. I know you said you enjoyed it.
Quick aside, that movie was great. But I think we're at the point now where DC fans are so jaded that they're just going to review bomb and not support anything, no matter what it is.
Now me saying that was because I haven't seen it yet. And me saying that was not to make it... To make a negative comment about it, it was more to, you know, about the haters, because you know how I feel about them. But and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a bad movie if that happens, because for instance, there's some movies that when I worked at the movie theater in high school, they were in and out of theaters like that. Boom, just 2-3 weeks, then out. And you're like, wow, where the hell did that movie go so fast? And it's probably just a product of, you know, maybe there was a lull between blockbusters and people just weren't, you know, excited about going to another movie at that time. So that movie kind of fell victim to that. Doesn't mean the movie's not a good movie. One movie, for instance, was a movie called Gone in 60 Seconds. don't know if you've seen that one. Nicolas Cage.
No, I haven't seen it. No.
It's a solid movie. It's not an amazing, like, oh my God, this is the best movie I've ever seen. But it's a good movie. And yeah. Literally was gone in 60 seconds. Like, you know, we made the joke about it because it was in and out of theaters so fast you forgot it was there. But yeah, I saw it and I was like, I really like this movie. And maybe that's just, you know, a taste or whatever. I mean, some people might see it and be like, this movie's terrible. But I enjoyed it. I'm like, wow, this movie, why the hell was this out of the movie theater so fast? So even if it does jump out of theaters fast, that doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
It was a good movie. But like I said, just DC fans are just so far gone at this point.
Yeah.
And the reputation of DC is so far gone at this point that people just aren't going to see DC stuff.
Well, it's,
which kind of worries me about the, you know, what James Gunn, what he's going to do.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I think this movie was already churning its wheels before James Gunn came along. Obviously.
It was, yes.
I mean, he's rebooting stuff.
And so they're not going to waste Michael Keaton.
No.
And not try to capitalize. Which is, that's how far gone DC and its fan base is that not even Michael Keaton could save this movie.
Right?
That's bad.
Because
Warner Brothers was really banking, all the previews were basically centered around him.
Yeah. What's frustrating is, so you look at Marvel. Marvel's been doing great. And people hate on it because they make all their comments here and there and whatever. And it's like, you know, like one of the comments is, you know, there's so much Marvel content out there. Oh my God, there's way too much. And then I'm like, have you ever heard of like The Young and the Restless that's been around for like 40 years? How about Survivor season 40? How about American Idol season like 26? How about,
or Fast and Furious number 20?
Number 10. Yeah. How about Real Housewives of Every City in the Country season 25? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to tell me that something that people would have never dreamed of in their lives to see a universe of movies this expansive, and they're going to complain about it? Like, blows my mind. Yeah, maybe you don't like everything, but then think about this too. There's also people who complain about characters not aligning to the comic books really well. Well, which one? Because how many times does somebody pick up a pen and go, hey, I'm going to do my turn on, I don't know, Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to take a character, or they're going to take the whole Marvel Universe and say, hey, we're going to throw it through the ringer with this event. And that's going to spawn a whole bunch of series that follow it. And then they reboot and do a new event because someone else picks up the pen and says, hey, I want to do it now. They're all so different. So there's so many different universes. It's like, this is another one in movie form. And it's like, take it for what it's worth. So that just frustrates me. So there's like this superhero fatigue that people talk about. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel superhero fatigue because I'm enjoying it. But I think that
is
something affecting DC fans, sadly, but also there's no... what's the word I'm looking for? There's no confident continuity, because every time they put together a roadmap and the first or second movie of that roadmap doesn't track well with audiences, they change course.
Yeah.
They like cut movies. They recast people. They redo things, say, hey, we're going to do a soft reboot. And it's like, how can you get behind something that you can't see a future with because the producers and the company building it can't even back it. You know, that's the sad thing for and DC.
And then the fans, they pick up on that. And then when they do happen to put out a good product, the fans are like, screw that, you know? So
too little, too late.
You're exactly. But
yeah, It's frustrating because that's good. I'm glad to hear that because I really want to see it. I mean, I also heard I haven't seen it yet. The Suicide Squad was good.
Yeah,
James Gunn's version. Like I'm so far behind on it, but I can't. I have to put my time. I have to use my time carefully on what I want to invest in. And if this is just getting rebooted, it's like I have a hard time investing time in it because it's like,
I think I read somewhere that Ezra Miller's Flash might still be around for James Gunn.
That's crazy. They're going to keep Ezra Miller around as Flash.
Out of all the actors and actresses.
And then you look at Jonathan Majors and you look at who else just came up with some negative press that was also in Marvel.
Yeah, which out of all the actors,
yeah,
Ezra Miller is the one that might stick around.
There's your flagship. Not Henry Cavill, not Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Not Jason Momoa. Those three were fantastic casts, and you're going to keep this guy.
So, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a bit of a long rant, but I mean, I think my point makes sense. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to... I feel like that's where people are coming from. It's just hard to invest in. Like I can invest easily if, you know, looking at a trilogy of Batman like The Dark Knight, I could invest in that easily because it's an encapsulated trilogy. Boom, three movies, done. And I mean, I'm looking at The Batman with Robert Pattinson. I can invest in that because I just think that it's separated from the DCEU, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway...
Well,
I think that's all I got.
That's all I got. Yeah.
We'll hit y'all next week. Fingers crossed. That's the plan.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
You know. So we know how things go.
Right.
Hopefully with a season or the episode 3 of Secret Invasion. And we'll talk about across the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
And yeah. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate you all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how do we do this again? For Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.